Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. I'm your host, and we've got a great show lined up for you today.
Thanks for joining us. It is Saturday, May 2nd. And before we dive into the news, we need to talk about this weather because it is a very chilly start to the weekend.
You aren't kidding. If you are stepping out early this morning, bundle up. We are looking at a current temperature of just 30 degrees right now in Grand Rapids. It's a clear sky, but with a 2 mile per hour wind from the west-northwest, it feels every bit like 30 degrees.
That is definitely unseasonably cold for early May, especially considering our average high this time of year is usually around 64 degrees. The good news is that the sun is up, and we'll see a mix of sun and clouds later, warming up to a high of 51 degrees by mid-afternoon.
Enjoy that midday sun, because it's going to cool right back down tonight. We're expecting temperatures to dip back into the mid-30s by Sunday morning. So if you've already put sensitive plants in the garden, you might want to cover them up to protect them from the frost.
Absolutely. Keep those early season crops covered. All right, let's get into today's main story. We're looking at a massive sports controversy with deep local roots involving a Grand Rapids native, a multi-million dollar contract, and a legal showdown with the NCAA. If you follow college football at all, you've probably been hearing the name Trinidad Chambliss everywhere lately. He is a Grand Rapids native who has essentially become the poster child for the wild, rapidly changing landscape of modern college athletics. He really has. We're talking about the transfer portal, massive name, image, and likeness deals, and literal courtroom battles overriding NCAA authority. It's a movie script. For those who might not know his background, Chambliss started his college career playing Division II football right here in West Michigan at Ferris State. And he didn't just play there. He led Ferris State to a Division II national championship. That alone is an incredible achievement. But then he decided to test the waters and entered the transfer portal in 2025. He made the massive leap straight from Division II into the SEC, transferring to Ole Miss. Jumping from D2 to arguably the toughest conference in the country is rare enough. But the craziest part is that he didn't even start the 2025 season as the main guy. He went in as a backup. When the starting quarterback went down with an injury, Chambliss stepped up and he absolutely caught fire. He ended up having a phenomenal season. He was named the 2025 SEC Newcomer of the Year, and he also won the Connerly Trophy, which is awarded to the best college football player in the state of Mississippi. The absolute peak of that run was the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. Georgia has one of the most intimidating NFL-ready defenses in the country, and Chambliss just dismantled them. He threw for 362 yards and 2 touchdowns, leading Ole Miss to a 39-34 victory. He walked away with the offensive MVP honors for that game. After a breakout season like that, culminating in a Sugar Bowl MVP, you would typically expect him to either declare for the NFL draft or gear up for a victory lap senior year. But that's where this story gets incredibly complicated, because he needed a medical waiver from the NCAA for a 6th year of eligibility. Right. This waiver request was based on a medical redshirt he took back in 2022 due to a severe respiratory illness. But on January 9th, 2026, the NCAA flat out denied that waiver request. They told him his college career was over. Which is, unfortunately, pretty standard for the NCAA lately. They have become notoriously rigid with these medical waivers. But instead of just accepting the ruling and declaring for the draft, Chambliss and his legal team took a completely different route. They sued the NCAA in a Mississippi state court. And this is where the entire power dynamic of college sports is shifting before our eyes. On February 12th, a Mississippi court granted a preliminary injunction. They essentially told the NCAA that they could not stop him from playing while the lawsuit was ongoing. The NCAA obviously appealed that decision, taking it all the way up to the Mississippi Supreme Court. But in late March, the state Supreme Court denied the NCAA's appeal. The injunction stands. So Chambliss is officially returning to Ole Miss for the 2026 season.
The legal implications of that are staggering. You have a state court successfully overriding the primary governing body of collegiate athletics.
it really raises the question of how much authority the NCAA actually has left when a player with enough resources can just take them to court and win.
And we have to talk about those resources, because that is the other massive piece of this puzzle. Why fight this hard and spend this much on lawyers to stay in college instead of just going to the NFL? The answer is NIL money.
Exactly. Reports are indicating that Chambliss has secured an NIL deal worth somewhere between $5 and $6 million for the 2026 season. That is life-changing money.
When you look at the economics of the NFL draft, it makes perfect sense. If he had declared this year, despite the great season, he likely would have been a mid-round pick. A fourth or fifth round rookie in the NFL does not make $6 million guaranteed in their first year. Not even close. A standard fourth round rookie contract might have a signing bonus of around $1 million, with a base salary under $1 million. By staying at Ole Miss, he is securing generational wealth right now, with zero risk of getting cut in an NFL training camp. It completely flips the script on talent evaluation and player retention. In the past, if you had a breakout season like he did, the conventional wisdom was to strike while the iron was hot and get to the league to get paid. Now, a college program, backed by wealthy boosters, can simply outbid the NFL for mid-tier draft prospects. And it's fascinating to see a kid from Grand Rapids at the very center of this paradigm shift. He is proving that if you have the talent, the transfer portal can be a ladder from Division II all the way to the highest, most lucrative levels of the sport. It also puts Ole Miss in a very interesting position for the upcoming season. They now have their star quarterback returning, which makes them instant contenders for the national championship. But they're operating under a state court injunction. The legal battle isn't technically over. Right, the preliminary injunction holds, but the NCAA could still try to pursue further action. Although, with the Mississippi Supreme Court ruling against them, it's incredibly difficult for the NCAA to enforce anything within that state. Which brings up a huge logistical question. What happens when Ole Miss plays away games outside of Mississippi? Does the injunction hold up across state lines if the NCAA tries to enforce their ruling in, say, Alabama or Louisiana? That is the multi-million dollar question legal experts have been debating. Generally, the NCAA has been very hesitant to defy state court injunctions lately, because doing so opens them up to massive antitrust lawsuits, which they have a terrible track record of defending against. It's a huge risk for them. If the NCAA tries to bench him in another state, Ole Miss and Chambliss could argue that the NCAA is illegally interfering with his $6 million business contract.
So, for now, Trinidad Chambliss is the guy. And honestly, setting the legal drama aside, it's just a great sports story for Grand Rapids. It's always fun to see someone from our backyard succeed on a national stage.
It'll be a blast to watch him play this fall. We will definitely be keeping tabs on how the season pans out for him and whether the NCAA tries any last-minute legal maneuvers. All right, that is definitely a situation we'll be watching closely as the college football season approaches. For sure. Let's pivot now and hit a few more local stories making the rounds this week. First up, there was a significant demonstration in Grand Rapids yesterday for May Day. A post on the Grand Rapids subreddit was shouting out the protesters who marched on the Hall Street Bridge over US 131.
Yeah, this was part of the national May Day Strong movement for International Workers' Day. Over 200 people showed up, organized largely by Movimiento Cosecha, to advocate for immigrant rights and protest current federal immigration policies.
The group had some very specific local and national demands, including the abolition of ICE, protecting undocumented workers, and pushing Grand Rapids to adopt official sanctuary city policies.
Organizers made it clear that demonstrating directly over the highway was a deliberate visibility tactic. They want to force a public conversation and polarize opinion to make leaders choose a definitive stance on immigrant labor.
Moving on to a public health heads up, another post gaining traction on the local subreddit is warning residents about a potential string of illnesses linked to Soho Sushi here in town.
Right, a user posted that their friend ended up in the ER with severe dehydration due to Giardia after eating there. They also claimed the Kent County Health Department reached out and mentioned there are three or four other cases potentially linked to the restaurant. For context, a look at the county's public inspection portal shows the restaurant did have a January inspection that noted several issues with sanitation and hand hygiene, which adds a bit of weight to the concern. It's important to remember this is a crowdsourced report, not an official health department outbreak alert yet. But Giardia is a nasty parasite, so it's a good reminder to be mindful of food safety and keep an eye out for any official updates.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast app.
Stay warm out there this morning, watch out for that frost, and we will catch you in the next episode.